morning, everyone. I'm glad that you're here at Discovery to worship with us today. So I shared this with a couple people already, but I'm going to share this again. I got to go see Toy Story 5. Has anyone seen it? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, no spoilers. So dial in with me, okay? Here's the thing about going to see Toy Story 5 that's unique. So I went, it was my grandson who's two, it was his first time being in a movie theater to see a movie. That's kind of a big deal, right? And my daughter is like teaching etiquette. She's like, listen, when the lights go down, we don't talk out loud and we're nice and quiet. And I'm thinking, that's never gonna happen. But she was trying, props to her, right? But when the lights go down at a movie like Toy Story 5, is it quiet in there? Absolutely not. That's the cool thing, it's just loaded with kids. If something's funny, they bust a gut laughing. You know what I mean? They just let it out. But there was a moment, and like I said, no spoilers, but there was a moment we were all thinking the same thing. About 10 minutes into the movie, maybe more, everyone was thinking the same thing. Where's Woody? I'm not gonna say anything else, but the thing about watching a movie with kids is they don't just think it to themselves. You hear it throughout the theater. Everyone's like, where's Woody? Bring Woody out. And I love that. It was just like, I don't know. You think about faith. We're talking about faith in here today, by the way. And listen, I'm going to tie this together. Childlike faith, it's so expressive. Bobby said last week when he was talking about faith, he said, a believer will consider God. Kind of casual. But a person of faith, they are all in. It's active. It's like kids, right? They're just all in. Joe talks all the time about going in and worshiping with the kids at our church, and they are all in. That's my challenge to you guys today. Let's worship as children of faith. You guys ready to do that with me today? All right, where's Woody? All right, would you please stand? We're gonna throw this back. We have a song that we used to do all the time at Discovery. In the spirit of celebrating our 25th, we're bringing some oldies back. So hopefully some of you know it. If not, you'll catch on. And let's worship with that childlike faith today here at Discovery. Please stand and join us. Here we go. You ready, Nina? All right.
Hope you remember it.
She's got it.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Soul in you, there's joy, yes.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Welcome. Hello, everyone. Shake a hand. Say hi before you sit down. We're doing that today. Not every day, but it's today. Hello. Oh, God. Hello. Nina, is it?
Great.
Jake. Very close. Very close. All right. Well done. Well done. Hi, everyone. Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Discovery. My name's Jason. I am in charge of Connections Sundays. I do what Abby tells me to do, is basically what I do. And it is so nice to see every single one of you. You know, I had last Sunday off, and I just missed it. I missed it. I missed everyone, so I'm very, very, very glad to be back. This service is packed today. Your worship folder is packed today. We got a lot going on, but I wanted to talk about the connection card, and I just wanted to encourage you to fill this out. It's a way that we can pray for you. It's a way that we can update any information that we have on you, information that just stays with us, just for us to be able to communicate with you. Would really encourage you to fill those out. And I get to see all of those, and I get to pray for all of you, and we have a team that prays for all of you. It's pretty awesome. Also, inside are these beautiful flyers, these beautiful little postcards here for Disco Fest. It's our 25th anniversary this year. Disco Fest will be kind of two parts. It will be service in the morning, and then in the evening from 4 to 7 at Lake Stillicum on July 26th. And these are both for you. You just heard that information. So these are both for you to give away and invite a neighbor if you would like to do that. And we hope that you would like to do that, because we will have a lot of food and we would love to see a lot of people. So today the most exciting, well, so many good things are happening today, but we are having baptisms today. Five kids are getting baptized today, so amazing. That will be right after service. Please, really, really quickly after service, please, please stick around for that. And that's it. We are going to sing. John is going to give the message. We're going to have a little giving back to God time. There will be communion. I had a whole thing, Abby. I'm not going to do it. I'm very particular about the rows. We'll do this next month. Don't worry about it. And then right after service, we will have baptism, and we have a very, very, very special surprise and presentation for you guys later that I will talk about later, but I'm not going to talk about now. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go back out and crosswalk for the stragglers, and let's continue worshiping.
Okay. We are grateful for you, Jason. We're grateful for you in that crosswalk, getting us all into church safely. I love clapping. Let's clap for Jason. I just love to clap. All right, speaking of songs that we've done for a while, here comes another one. Everyone stand and join us in declaring why we can have childlike faith, which is that there is a very real, living, good God who's worthy. God, you're worthy of our worship this morning. You're good to us. You're long-suffering. You see us. You want to know us. You are worthy of our worship. So we turn our hearts to you today, Jesus.
Worthy is the
the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing an old song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Sing that together, church. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. And sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I'll sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. We adore you.
He's clothed in rainbows.
He's clothed in rainbows of living flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. Creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. To the King of Kings. Kings. You are my everything. I will adore you.
Praise you, Jesus. Worthy, worthy are you, Jesus. That power, Lord Jesus, that rose you from the grave is working in this place today. Come and heal, Lord Jesus. Come and set free as only you can. Do the things in this place only you can do. Let's sing together.
Sing, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Jesus, over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is
darkness over every enemy. Come on.
Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Sing that again. Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart, every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I want to invite you just to be seated for a moment. Every Sunday at this month in the service, we take a few minutes just to pray. So I'm going to invite you just to bow your head with me. Just close your eyes. As you're doing that, I want to recall, just bring back into your mind the things that we've been singing. I know that sometimes in a church, we can get in the habit of being caught up in sort of like the collective song, the melody, saying these words, and we don't stop and think about what it is that we've been declaring. We have been declaring over the last few minutes that the name of Jesus is the most powerful name. And it's not just that Jesus is some sort of superhero. He far exceeds that. We've been invited by God Himself to come limping and broken with the heaviest of weights on our shoulders, with the most stained hands, with the greatest failures. We've been invited by the holiest of gods to come limping under that weight to the foot of the cross of Jesus. And there at the foot of the cross to find healing, restoration, wholeness. Like, this is not reserved for some people who've got it all figured out. It's an invitation for the most broken, for the most lost, for the most discouraged, for the most depressed, for the most anxious, for the ones struggling under the greatest weight of sin. Jesus says, I came for you. I didn't come for the wealthy. I didn't come for the healthy. I came for you. And I so deeply and desperately love you. So for a few moments, let's put away the game. We don't have to pretend for anybody. We certainly must not pretend before God. So this morning, if there's a weight, let me encourage you to bring it to the cross. Many of us in this room, so many years ago, we came and we collapsed at the foot of the cross. We said, Jesus, would you save me? And we watched a miracle take place. Knit us together piece by piece. He not only helped us stand, we began to fly. Along the way, there's been some weight that's gathered again on your back. Maybe it's a weight in your marriage, it's a weight in your finances, it's a weight with your grandchildren, it's your kids, it's your job. Jesus is again inviting you to come to the foot of the cross, and now in the power of Jesus' name, surrender that to Him. Jesus, today I give you my marriage. Jesus, today I give you my adult child. Jesus, I give you today my grandchild. Jesus, I give to you today this addiction. Jesus, I give you today this anxiety. I give you this fear of being found out. Jesus, I give it to you. So in a minute, I'm going to stop talking. We're going to let the music just play. And I'm going to encourage you to speak the name of Jesus. Come to Him. Just, this is your moment just to be real before God. Talk to Him. let him wash over it. This was never yours to carry. Father, this morning in this room, there is things happening. There's no accident that each one of us are here. And it's not because we need a program or a show. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And I am asking this morning that somehow all the things that were planned and all the things that we'll be speaking or talking about, God, that you would translate them to each and every one of us. Translate to our soul's need, and I pray that you would bring transformation in this place. Father God, this morning we also want to remember that as a church family, there's things going on. We read in the news about earthquakes, places like Venezuela, and it hits close to home because we have a precious sister in our church that is, her and her family are still looking for family members. Venezuela right now. God, we pray for Maddie Alice and her family. God, we have a sister that has been a precious part of our family that has fought an incredible journey of faith, and she has now gone home to be with you. God, we pray for Benita's family this week that you bring great comfort. Not only you bring great comfort, but that life, that legacy of faith would live on so brilliantly in the lives of people in her family and her life. Thank you for allowing us to be in this space, and thank you for making it a sanctuary for broken people like us. We need Jesus. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. Master, Savior, Jesus. It is at your name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. You are Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 It's almost stark when the piano stops at the same time. Kind of wanted to just keep playing through the service. I want to thank you again for being here this morning. We do have a lot of wonderful things that we're going to be celebrating this morning. Baptisms are a ton of fun, and so we're going to celebrate baptisms a little bit. We're going to get to hear kind of a special presentation. It'll be after, live stream. It'll be after live stream's over, and you're going to get to be a part of that. It's going to be a special thing. But I just want to articulate that we really believe this morning that God's doing something in this place. And I don't mean collectively God's doing something, but I also mean very individually that God's doing something in your life. And it would be a tragedy for you just to show up and zip out and go get a burger or, you know, tater tots, whatever, and miss out on some things that God needs to do. And so I do want to say, in the midst of all the things, that we want to be in the journey with you. And I do want to encourage you, and Jason talked about connection card. I do want to encourage you to use a connection card and let us know you're here. We're not interested in tracking you. We do want to be in your journey. And it's also a really simple way, like particularly if you're a little nervous about letting people in on the journey with you, you could just say, pray for me. That's simple. And I want you to know some people will be praying for you this week. Okay, deal? Now, I also want to say that I don't know that that's enough. I think that you may need this morning, before you zip out of here, to ask somebody to enter into your story. And so I'm just going to highlight a couple of people. I'm just going to point them out right now. And then at the end of the service, when things are chaotic, they're going to be in the room, and you can walk up to them in just a very personal way and say, hey, I know you don't know me. My name is, would you pray for me? And the first one I'm going to say is Barb. Barb, would you just stand up for just a moment? So if you would like to have somebody this morning to pray with, Barb would be a great person. Another person I want to introduce you to is Terrell. Terrell's over here on my right. So Terrell, you stand. If you would like to pray and you're near Terrell, just walk up to him and say, hey. And these people, they're going to be gentle. They're not going to invade your privacy. They're just going to kind of want to be in the journey with you. I want to introduce you to Tad. Tad's in the back. He's got a long beard. So it is a scary beard, but he's not a scary person, okay? So there's a ton of other people. Maybe you might even be sitting next to somebody that would love to be in the journey with you, but these people have at least given me permission to point them out. So anyway, let me encourage you to do that. So I'm going to jump up here on the platform a minute. I want to encourage you to have a Bible. And so we're studying the book of Hebrews. We're getting close to the end of the book of Hebrews. You're going to want to find Hebrews chapter 11. While you're doing that, I want to make a declaration, and maybe it's a confession. It's probably a little of both. I'm not a cat person. So I get nervous when I make declarations like that, because sometimes when I say things like that, I make friends, and sometimes I make enemies. So you don't have to say amen if you don't want to, but I'm not a cat person. Not even an amen. Okay, so I'm a dog person. Man, I'm a dog person. Thank you, a couple of you brave souls. I don't know what happened in 2026. Where did all the dog people go? So we've tried to be cat people. It just doesn't work for us. We're dog people and have been for a long time. And when I say it, I'm a dog person, I don't like all dogs. Okay? I really don't get fired up by puppies that much. I mean, puppies are cute. I don't really like small dogs that much. Again, I'm sorry, I'm narrowing the audience here. So, I don't get excited when a dog jumps up on my lap and wants to lick my face. None of those things excite me. I'll tell you what I love about dogs is I love powerful dogs. I love a dog that's got a mission and a purpose. And I'm saying mission and purpose so much that, by the way, sorry, musicians, I'm just going to do this. I know, but I'm just going to cover it, okay? So when I say peas, things can come out. So I'm being thoughtful, okay? But, you know, that's what I like. I like a dog I like a big, strong dog. It's what I like. And so in my house, we've had big, strong dogs. We it was last year, maybe a little longer, we lost our yellow lab. She passed away, and she was with us 13 plus years. I think maybe 14 years almost, and she was awesome. She was a little dumb, okay? She was cute, and she was nice, but she was strong, and she was strong-willed. She was hard to train, and she was just strong, and I love that about her. And then a few years after she came along, we added a second dog, and she's a German wire-haired pointer. And so if you know anything about hunting dogs, it's one of the most versatile and strong hunting breeds, and I love her. She's awesome. She's great in the house. She can settle down and be good, but boy, out in the field. She's kind of shy around people, but you get out in the field and she becomes like this monster. And I like to go hunting, and probably the most fun thing about hunting is just watching this dog come alive. Like nothing will stop her. She's so strong. And so that's what I love. Now, a few years ago, one of our kids needed to come home. I think all of our kids have done that. They just keep doing that. We love them. So one of our kids needed to come to our house and come to stay with us for a bit. And they said, hey, we said, you're totally welcome. Come to the place. And they said, can we bring our dog? And Tracy and I, again, we like big dogs, but we're like, man, we have a lot of big dogs in this little house. And so we're like, we don't really want the dog to come. Plus the dog wasn't a big dog. The dog was a little dog, and I wasn't excited, but I'm a dad. And I'm like, sure. Come and bring your little dog. And so the kid comes home. I wasn't home the day that the child comes home. I was working. And at the end of the day, I come into the house. Now, typically when I come in the house, at the back door, here comes lumbering these two big, giant, strong dogs. They're basically going to bowl me over. They're so excited to see me. But I open the door, no dogs. I'm like, what's going on? Tracy's in the kitchen. I said, hey, what's going on? What's weird about the house? Where's the dogs? She said, you've got to see this. I said, see what? She said, you've got to see it. And so she leads me through the kitchen and through the dining room, and there in the living room is our child's dog, just laid out on the carpet, just smiling. This is my space. Like, I own the place. And it's kind of fun. It's always, you know, warming of the heart when someone feels welcome in your home. It's like theirs. I'm like, oh, I don't like small dogs, but I'm glad you feel at home. And she says, no, look in the corner. And in the corner are my two giant, strong, vicious monsters. They're like cuddled up in a ball. Like, they literally are trying to occupy the same space. And at the same time they're doing this, they're looking completely attentive. And I said, what's going on? And Tracy said, it's been going on all day. I said, did the little dog bite? She says, no. There's been no barking, no biting, no yipping. And Tracy says, this dog just has a power. And literally, as long as that dog and our dogs are in the house, our dogs lived in that corner. And this dog had this power that was like unbelievable, magical, mysterious, and beautiful. Now, I tell you that story because I want you to know that you actually have power. You have access to a power, a God-given power that is, I think, deeply unutilized and not experienced in 2026. Paul talks about it, before we get to the book of Hebrews, Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy. I won't have it up here on the screen, but in 2 Timothy, Paul is giving a warning. He says, in the last days. And he starts giving a list of stuff, like things are going to be bad. I mean, really, really bad. Like terrible things. Like, I think one of the big ones, kids will be disobedient to their parents. That's the worst of the list, right? No, he gives this long list. He's like, man, things are going to be really, really, really bad in the last days. And then his very last thing is he says this. He said, there'll be people in the last days that will, they'll be spiritual, religious. They'll talk about God, but they will deny its power. And then interestingly, out of the whole list of all these awful things, after he lists this thing, men and women who denied their God-given power, he says this, stay away from people like this. It's not just a shame. It's not just sad. It's deeply dangerous when you and I don't access and live out our God-given power. Now, our series is called Facing It with Faith. We are zeroing in on really one chapter in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, let me have you turn there. Bobby introduced us last week because sort of the ramp up to Hebrews chapter 11, God calls us to live a life of faith. But now we're going to get to chapter 11. We're going to start reading what this life of faith looks like. So we're going to read the first six verses today. And then we're going to talk today about a decision that changes everything. A decision that empowers men and women to live lives that they were destined and designed to live. Read with me starting in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now I'm going to read out the New American Standard Bible. So your Bible may look a little different than what's up on the screen, but follow along. It says, Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. And without faith, what's the word up there? It is what? It's impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one rewards those who seek him. The writer of Hebrews invites you and I to ask a really important question, and that is, what makes great people great? It seems like in 2026 that everyone's trying to be great. You know, everybody wants to be seen and noticed. We film everything. We film ourselves doing the most ridiculous things. We're all wanting to be great, but by what standard? Are people great because they look a certain way, or because they have a certain amount of strength or charisma or education? Are people great because they own a certain amount of things? Because they have the right kind of job, or they have the right title behind their name? What makes a person great? The writer of Hebrews says what makes a person great is simply their faith. When I think about people in sort of our, we'll call it our generation, and the generations before us, I think of those who we consider to be great. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. If you know nothing else of Martin Luther King Jr., you know one particular phrase. He had a what? He had a dream. Everybody knows that. Why do we know that? Because here is a man that above everything else, he held on to something that wasn't seen, that wasn't existing, and believing that it would be, he had a faith, and he held on to it, and it made him great. Faith changes a person. It empowers a person. It enables a man or woman to do things that nobody else could do. Faith is necessary. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the certainty of things hoped for and a proof of things not seen, for by it the people of old gained approval. What is Hebrews saying faith is? Faith, number one, is this: a decision that transforms my environment. Hebrews 11 is actually saying that if you make a decision to put your trust in Jesus, his ways, his will, his mission, it literally changes your environment. This is what one commentary says. It says the Greek word here that we just read is in the English as certainty. This commentary says the Greek word translated certainty is actually the Greek word hypostasis. Let's try that again. You want it ready for this? Hypostasis, everybody? Hypostasis, okay. The commentary says, which could also be translated realized. Stick with me. That means this sentence here could be stated like this: in faith, things hoped for become realized. Or, simpler, things hoped for become reality. The writer of Hebrews is saying that when you make a decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it changes the world around you. It empowers you, and it literally impacts the world around you. And the second thing that these two verses say is that this decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus changes not just the world around you, but changes who? It changes me. Hebrews 11:2. I'll be real honest, I love this translation. There's a Bible called the International Children's Bible. You probably have to figure out why I like it. It fits me, right? The International Children's Bible translates Hebrews 11:2 this way: people who lived in the past became famous because of their faith. Your faith changes you. It changes the world around, and it changes you. It's like a toddler with chocolate on a summer day. You give a toddler chocolate on a summer day, what's going to change? Anybody? Everything. You know, I'm a grandparent, you know. We have things. We didn't have things when we were parents. Now we have some things. Guess what's happening to our things? We're losing our things, right? And you know why? Because you give a kid an Otter Pop. And right? It's over. Because when you give them, it infects everything around them, and it affects and changes them. Faith is the same way. When you have when you've made a decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus, it changes your marriage. It changes your neighborhood. It changes your workplace. and it changes you. And friends, that's powerful. And God's not interested in playing games. It is God's intent to be powerfully working in and through your life. You know, that song we just sang, it wasn't just kind of a neat thing that people made up. As Jesus people, we believe that God is powerfully working today. Amen? Okay, four of you got it. So let's say that we believe that God is powerful. Look at this. I'm going to read this. 1 Corinthians 4:20, and then we'll say an amen. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not a matter of, is it up there? It's not a matter of what? The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it is of power. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons we fight with, they're not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Back in the next verse, verse 5 says, so what do? We demolish. I love that. You do. I know you feel shy. You feel small. You feel insignificant. Welcome to the club. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1. The Spirit God gave us does not make us. You see, you guys can't see it. We need another TV here. Does not make us what? The Spirit of God. I wondered why this side here was a little quieter today. So the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God's not messing around. He powerfully wants to work in your life and through your life. Acts chapter 1:8. Just in case you thought maybe it was only for a few people. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Who does that include? Who does that include? Me. Small me. Scared me. Anxious me. Overwhelmed me. Includes me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This power that we're talking about, I just want to drive this home. It's not just neat. I don't want you to walk home today and be like, that was kind of neat. Here's what I want us to walk home today with. That power is necessary. Okay, going back to what Paul said in 2 Timothy, why would you stay away from people? They're not walking in the power. Because minus God's power in your life, some of the very basic things in your journey, you are not going to be able to do. There are some things, basic things in your life, like stuff that's going to come to pass Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, probably even this afternoon, that you need, that need to happen in your life and cannot happen minus the power of God. I'm going to list five of them. Number one, obedience. You and I cannot be obedient to the things that God has called us to without the power of God. I think that this room is littered. I think the floor of this room is littered with calling. I think there is men and women in this room right now that know God wants you to do something, live different, step out in faith, do some things. You have known it for 15 years, and you've been laboring in it, and you're waiting for the right amount of money. You're waiting for somebody else to do something. And the only thing that you need, really need, is the power of God. And you need to trust Him by faith to take the step. Look at this. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, you might write this down. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You know that you need to be obedient, but that obedience is not waiting on money. It's not waiting on approval from your boss. It's not awaiting that new car or that new house. It's not awaiting a graduation or the kids moving out. It's not waiting any of that. It is only waiting the power of God operating in you. Amen? Number two. Here's the second thing that you and I need the power of God for. We need the power of God to pray effectively. It's not impossible to pray without power. Like, I just like to say and confess that it happens all the time. I think we pray without power all the time. I think we pray powerless prayers at our kitchen tables. I think we're hungry and we just pound them out. I think some of us pray powerless prayers in our small groups. I think some of us pray powerless prayers when we're walking into our jobs on a Monday morning. I think sometimes we pray powerless prayers at church. But you've not been designed by God to pray powerless prayers. That's why James, this won't be up here, but James says this. He says that a righteous person's prayers are powerful and, anybody remember? Effective. What's James saying? He's saying, listen, when a man or woman's faith is growing vibrantly, there's a power in that man's prayers. There's a power in that woman's prayers. And there's some things that are not getting done in your world and mine because our faith is far too small. Amen? In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus' disciples are trying to solve a problem. People came up and said, hey, we got a problem. Would you solve it? And they've solved a few problems. And so they whip it out and like, we got this. And they pray some prayers. And guess what happens? Goose egg, nothing. And it gets to be sort of a mob, and Jesus shows up, and when Jesus shows up, he prays, and stuff happens. Now, the disciples are thrown by this. They're like, hey, we walked through the motions. We said in Jesus' name, amen. We threw in a few Lord Gods, and we even maybe we shed a tear or two. We tried to, like, walk the method out. Jesus, what happened? Let me read this to you in Matthew chapter 17. The disciples came to Jesus in private and said, whoa, we couldn't. Why couldn't we drive it out? And listen to what Jesus says. You have so little faith. I mean, faith gets stuff done. When you make a decision to put your trust in Jesus, his ways, his will, his mission, Jesus alone, and you bring when you bring prayer to God from that position, you're powerful and you're dangerous. You can't pray powerful prayers for your grandkids without incredible faith. You can't pray powerful prayers for your neighbors, your kids, your spouse. The third reason we need God's power operating in us is that so we can share Jesus. I think 2026, there's a lot of like religious, there's probably more religious war going on today than maybe any other time in my lifetime. Like we love to like argue. That's why a lot of us, we get nervous when someone stands up and says, hey, I'm a Christian, and we're like, don't say anything. Because we're lobbing bombs all the time at each other. In person, online, trying to smash out evil, all this kind of stuff. Did you know the New Testament says you don't have to do that? In fact, you're doing more harm than good. I love 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's bring it up here. It says, but in your hearts revere, don't turn it yet. Let's just stay here for a minute. Verse 15. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. I no longer trust what my hands can manage, what my lips can manipulate. I no longer trust what my mind and my head can get wrapped around. Instead, I've made a decision to put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone, his will, his ways, his character. Jesus is Lord. And then let's go on to the next part. Verse 16. And then it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. The New Testament says, man, this culture would change if you'd stop lobbing bombs and instead put your faith brilliantly in Jesus Christ, and he will change you. You'll become a powerful woman. You'll become a powerful man. In fact, you won't have to do much. People are going to walk up to you, and they're going to say, tell me, in this hopeless world, how you have such brilliant hope. And you, with gentleness and incredible respect, will say, Jesus has changed everything in me. If it wasn't for Jesus and Jesus Christ alone, let me tell you where I'd be right now. And I'm not here to judge you. You're on your own journey, man. But let me tell you, everything changes at the foot of the cross. The New Testament says you become a powerful person when you made the decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus and not use Jesus and his word as some sort of weapon in the world. Instead, trust him. Oh, man, we need the power of Jesus. Amen? And I want to tell you, we need it online and we need it at work. We need it on the streets. But listen, I want you to know where you need it the most. Under your roof, in your family. Amen. Number three, I got to go quickly. I'm preaching. I don't mean to preach. Okay, number four. We need the power of God, fueled by faith, to conquer habitual sin. It wasn't an amen or a groan. I'll say it again. Okay. We need the power of God to conquer habitual sin. Romans 6 says, we know that our old self. Anybody know your old self? I know my old self. He's jacked up, okay? Amen? Okay, so we know. But this is what Paul writes. He says, but that old self was crucified with him. So that old self, that body ruled by sin, might be done away with. So that we should no longer be slaves to sin, that old self, because anyone who has died has now been set free from sin. I want you to know that it is God's intention for you to be set free of those old habits. But that doesn't happen through willpower or anger with self or disappointment or shame or guilt. That transformation, that freedom, only comes through the powerful work of God. When you make a decision to put your faith and your trust in Jesus, his mission, his ways, Jesus himself, it gives men and women power over old habits. I'm going to number five, the last one I want to share today. Is we need the power of God operating in our lives to simply love. 1 John 4. Actually, all of 1 John 4, I just picked one verse. You could read the whole chapter. It's like it's going over and over again. It just repeats itself. But 1 John 4:16 says, we know and we rely on the love of God. The love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. The writer of 1 John is saying, man, our world needs love. Amen? Anybody? The kids that you work with, they so need the love of God. Amen? Those like ornery construction workers that you deal with, they need the love of God, amen? Amen, amen. The people at Fred Meyer need the love of God, amen. Okay, so, I mean, the whole world needs the love of God. How are they going to experience it? Here's what God did. Is he placed in this world in 2026 here, right in the middle of all the tension and the fighting? You know what he did? He placed his church. And he's like, listen, church, if you'd make a decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus, his will, his ways, Jesus alone, it will empower you to love in a supernatural way, a way that our world needs, in a way that you cannot give unless God himself. I don't know any other way to say it, but husband, you cannot love your wife in the way that she needs without the power of God. I want to just say this honestly. Wife, it's impossible to love a man. I could stop there, okay? But listen, it's impossible to love a man in a way that man needs without the power of God. It's impossible to love your kids in the way that God's calling without the power of God. It's impossible to love your neighbor, your coworkers, your employees, your friends. And it gets even tougher when they vote different than you and live different than you and think different than you and post different than you. And Jesus calls you and I to love them. We need the power of God. Amen? Galatians chapter 5 says it this way. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Coming all around full circle this morning, the last verse we read in Hebrews 11 said it this way, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You and I need a power operating in our life, not only to be the kind of people that God has called us to be, but we need to be right with God. And all this requires faith. Now, where do you get the faith? Where do you go get it? What do you do if you don't have it? Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 is an invitation. It's not a wait. It's not a separator. It's not saying some people have it, some people don't. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 is an invitation. To you, little old you, insignificant you, burdened you, broken you, to make a decision today, not one day, but today, to put your faith and trust in Jesus, and at that moment, things change. That's why we repeat over and over again this most famous verse in the Bible in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And there's not a period there. There's an invitation. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's an invitation. You want God to do something in you. This morning you came in, you're carrying some brokenness, some baggage, some weight. You need God to do something in you. If you're like me and you open your phone at any time in the week and you flip through and you see the news, you're like, man, it's not just that I need something, our world needs stuff. My family needs something. What is it that we need? Today in 2026, we need faith in Christ. Our world is starving for that. The transformation that you and I want to see in the streets, the transformation that we want to see in our schools, the transformation that we want to see online, the transformation we want to see in the broad public sphere needs faith. The transformation that I want to see in my marriage and in our family, in me, it requires faith. And I want you to hear this morning, there's an invitation. It all can change this morning. It all can change this morning. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Isn't that cool? I love that word, whoever. That includes you and me right now. So here's what I want to do. Is I want to take a minute. And we've prayed a lot this morning. But if any of this stuff resonated with you and you're like, I need to do something, I want you to take this minute, piano playing minute, and I want you to do something. Whatever you know God's calling you to do. But friend, let me encourage you, do not leave the same way that you arrived. Don't go back to playing the games. Invite the power of the living God. And you do it by praying something like this: Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I wrestle with trusting only me. What I can manage, control, understand. And it has worked out terribly for me. Today, I am putting my trust, I'm making the decision to put my trust in you, Jesus, alone. Jesus, will you save me? Some of you might have some specifics that you might say. Jesus, I'm putting my daughter in your hands, my job in your hands. I'm putting our future in your hands. And I pray that as I get up this morning, that I would get up buoyed and strengthened by your power, not my own. Let me give you a minute. You pray what you need to pray. Jesus, we are grateful for a few moments this morning to be reminded that outside of you there is nothing good. Oh, there's a mirage of goodness that we run to, and when we arrive, it is empty. But oh, we have seen and experienced firsthand that outside of you there's nothing. I'm believing that this morning some men and women in this space have made a decision to trust you with their lives, with their future, with the challenges that they face. God, I pray that you would fill them with an incredible power. In the next few moments, Jesus, we are going to take communion, and we're not going to take communion as men and women got it all figured out. We're taking communion as broken people who came to a Jesus, a Savior, who was broken for us, who on the cross spilled his life, his blood for us. This is our most tangible way to say, Jesus, our faith is in you. In your name we pray, amen. We're going to take the Lord's Supper now, and you might still have some stuff you want to pray for. You could do that right where you're at. But as soon as you're ready, I want to invite you to come. And maybe as a real tangible expression of your faith this morning, come and take these elements. Come and take the bread and the juice to celebrate Jesus. So I think we're going to encourage people to, in this section, this middle section, if you can come down the center, and on these side sections, if you just come down kind of whatever center there, it'll be a little chaotic. Thank you, Jason. It'll be a little chaotic, but we love chaos here, so when you're ready, come, and then take the elements back to your seat and celebrate Jesus, Jesus. Thank you.
presence, I speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
We are going to conclude the time of worship by giving back to God. And so I'm going to invite the ushers to come, and we're going to bring some baskets. We would like for you to place your connection card in there. You're going to see some people that use this as a time to financially give back to God. What we ask is, if you're a guest with us, please don't put any dollars in there. If this becomes your church home, we're a deeply generous church. We live very sacrificially. If this becomes your church home, we'd love for you to be a part of that. We think it's an incredible privilege. But as a guest with us, we just want to be clear, we don't need your money. We would love an opportunity to pray with you, be in your journey. So please drop that connection card in there. I want to remind you, as our service concludes, I want to remind you again, if you want some prayer, please seek out some of these people here that would love to be in the journey with you. We would really love to be in your journey. Live stream, we want to thank you so much for being with us. We're going to conclude our live stream now. And thank you so much for being a part of our worship service out here this morning. God bless you.